Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Whetstone Audio Dispatch, a series of episodes about food as a lens to view and understand the world. I'm Meher Verma, an anthropologist and writer, and you may recognize me as the host of Bad Table Manners. I'm back to bring you a two-part series from Srinagar, Kashmir. From exploring how life revolves around local bakeries to the innovative sustainable farming methods that thrive in the state, I bring you stories of resilience, community, and ultimately, hope. So join me as I embark on an investigation into a place that is simultaneously called the most militarized place on earth and heaven as we know it.
शायरी है थोड़ी सी वो कश्मीरी में है कांदरो सोच कर मच लो लो अशीशियर सिंह बच लो लो ये एक शायरी कश्मीरी में इसी के ऊपर किसके कांदरो के
I'm walking through a neighborhood in Srinagar's old city, a metropolis that has its roots in the 14th century. Most locals are complaining about the afternoon heat. The neighborhood is largely residential. The oldest homes have tiny windows carved out of wood, out of which some people are looking, thinking, or maybe daydreaming. The city streets are narrow, windy, and easy to get lost in. The newer structures check all the boxes of South Asian modernity, including television satellites and drying clothes sitting side by side on rooftops. As I'm walking, I'm hit by a distinct fragrance that stops me in my tracks. It takes me no time to identify the smell of freshly baked bread. It wafts through the air, a potent, sweet scent cut with smoke. I take a few steps in this direction and find smoke rising from a nondescript shopfront, a simple structure made of mud and bricks, tucked away in a narrow alleyway. From a local, I learned that the structure is the neighborhood Kandur, a local Kashmiri bakery where people from the neighborhood gather every morning and sometimes later at tea time for their daily bread. Inside the structure, which has a low ceiling and feels a bit like a cave, is a large earthen pot with an open mouth cocoon-like structure. That is a wood-fired tandoor. Every neighborhood has one, and each has a slightly different atmosphere. Whether snow, rain, or in the heat of summer, whether curfew or strike, the neighborhood bakery is open. The Kandur is a gathering place, one that cuts across age and class hierarchies. On my visit there, I heard young people talking to old and neighbors, both men and women, exchanging pleasantries and gossip. I saw people hanging out without worrying that they were not ordering enough or that they were taking up too much space. As a hyper-urban creature myself, I couldn't think of a pub or a park that compares. Given the militarization of Kashmir society, to find a place like this where people are mingling freely strikes me as a small miracle. But then I come to learn that the world of bread is the divine coping mechanism for Kashmiris, for whom fate and uncertainty are interlinked. As we will discover, bread here is not just about flour, water, and ghee. It is about community. Kashmir's kandur, or bakery culture, is pretty unique in relation to the rest of North India. But its presence makes a lot more sense when you think about Kashmir's history in a longer time frame, which reveals the region's close cultural connections to Central Asia. To tell us more about why and how bakeries came to be, we turn to my first guest. It's a privilege to score a meeting with Zarif Ahmed Zarif, a Kashmiri poet and historian and author of 4 books. Zarif Saab is literally a cultural encyclopedia and a local treasure. He's a go-to for information about Kashmir's history that is not easy to find. He tells me about Kandurs. I ask Zarif Saab how these different varieties of bread that you see in Kashmir's bakeries came about. But kandurs are not just about bread and bread varieties. Through my conversations with bakers and their regular customers, I come to understand how they are also symbols of resilience. Tomorrow is the final day of Muharram, a holy period of mourning for Shia Muslims that lasts 10 days. Many shop shutters in the city are half or all the way down. The air is tense. Incidents of violence during this period are not unheard of in Kashmir, and Indian armed forces and police have blocked off many of the roads. Still, Sana, a Srinagar-based friend of mine, and I decide to venture out. I'm curious about what happens to bakeries, these mainstays of household life, during times like this. As I follow Sana through the mohallas or neighborhoods of the old city, she points out several places where protests, activist meetings, and public performances have taken place. The old city is buzzing with history. After a little meandering, we arrive at a bakery. While this would have taken me ages to find, locals seem to be able to smell their way to a kandur. Olfactory mapping definitely wins over Google Maps here. The entrance is half closed, curtained with deep red cloth. A basket of freshly baked chot lies out in the front. Chot is a Kashmiri word for flatbread or wrap. It's often eaten for breakfast and is made from refined flour. It is more than excellent with butter, but really good on its own as well. It's 8 in the morning when we arrive. But 8 a.m. is practically midday for the bakers who begin kneading the dough in the middle of the night. In a typical kandur, the tandoor is fired up at 4 a.m. and most bakers focus on making lavasa till about 8 in the morning. Then they move to other breads, like bagir khanis and kulchas. There are at least 4 to 5 varieties that are made through the day, depending on what suits the heat of the fire. People start queuing up for fresh lavasa by about 6 a.m. Most lavasa regulars pick up their stash on their way home from the mosque after the first prayer in the morning. So when we arrive at 8, most of the crowd has dispersed, although there are still a few people waiting in line. The kandurs very kindly make a seat for me inside, right by the oven. The kandur consists of a group of 4 men, modestly dressed, hands and shirts powdered with flour. The warmth is literal and poetic. The kandur is hot. At the kandur, there are no written recipes, no instructions being exchanged at all. Aside from a calendar and a government license pasted to the wall, there's actually no text anywhere. For a novice baker like me, who has churned out many a failed loaf despite following instructions, this embodied and intuitive knowledge is amazing. I spend a bit of time simply observing the seamlessness of the work. One baker is flattening mounds of flour and water with a rolling pin. Another is stretching and elasticizing patties of dough with his muscular hands. Melodious, athletic thud, thud, thud sounds run through the place like breath. Conversation between the men is brief, but I see very quickly how teamwork here is everything. After a while, the head baker throws me a freshly baked lavasa. My cue to begin asking questions.
Okay. ییٚتہِ چَلے اَسہِ کٲم اَصٕل تَمہِ موٗجوٗب روٚٹ اَسہِ پَتہٕ ییٚتہِ.
The group of men that are working here are all cousins. They have been making bread for 20 or 30 years. This wasn't their calling or anything though. This work is more majboori, something to be done out of need. I make a note that he's perhaps warning me not to romanticize the practice of bread making. It's a job that pays the bills.
Din ke 2 baje ya 2:30 baje tak bas. Nahi us din 9-10 baje tak karte hain to fir band hi rakhte hain.
Our conversation turns to the fact that today is not a normal day. There is a talk of a curfew, and the streets are extra policed. For the past 30 years, curfews, lockdowns, and strikes have all been a part of people's daily life here. I'm curious about how all of this affects the day-to-day running of the bakery. The baker tells me that the kandar never closes. Except for a few days on Eid each year, it remains open, and people buy their abundant stock before Eid in preparation for its closure.
اتنا بڑا منجولا تھا میں اس میں لگاتا تھا پانی اور لگاتا تھا شکر لگاتا تھا دودھ مندری والے کو بلاتا تھا یا پیو چائے وہ پیتا تھا چائے میں نے شٹل بند کر کے اندر روٹی بناتا تھا وہاں اس وقت 12 بجے تک لگتا تھا زبردست گھر مطلب یہ ہے نا فریڈم 12 بجے تک تب تک میں شٹل بند کر کے روٹی بناتا تھا اتنا پورا چٹ 12 بجے کے بعد جب کھلتا تھا نا ادھر سے میں بھی شٹل اٹھاتا تھا پتا پھر پھر یہ کام اس کے یارانہ ہوا تھا اس کے ساتھ وہ کیا بولے گا.
In another bakery we visit, one baker speaks about a kind of immunity he and others who work in the kandar have developed towards curfews and lockdowns. He tells us that the work of bread making and feeding continues no matter what. Even when the police come, he says, they still try and feed them. Sharing bread brokers a temporary peace. Even on the bleakest days, people in Kashmir can find a little fire burning in their neighborhood, symbolizing continuity and life. The reasons for kandar resilience is multifaceted. And of course, primary amongst them is the baker's sheer ability to put in the hours of labor, day after day. As many tell me, taking a day off is not an option. But kandars also occupy a spiritual place in the Kashmiri imagination, and this too shapes the bread maker's sense of duty. And this is also what allows kandars to operate day after day. Akin to pharmacists or chemists who supply medicine, kandars supply another necessity, daily bread. And because bread making and bread consumption is so integral to daily cultural life, rarely do you see a bill or even hear talk of money at the kandar. Most of the customers are well known to the bakers and don't even need to specify their order, unless they're ordering something extraordinary. Bashir Ahmed is handed a pile of freshly baked chot, packed in the same cloth bag that he uses every day. There's no name on it, and it is one of the dozens that lie around the oven. But the kandars know who it belongs to, and the exchange between baker and customer is seamless. Moreover, there's no formal line. Most people stand and wait or chat in a semicircle-like formation. The bakers keep a track of who arrived when. And because this is a place that is about human before accounts, fluidity characterizes all exchange.
ہاں 10 دن کے بعد بھی دیتے ہیں یہ تو ان کی مرضی ہے یہ دے گا نہیں دے گا وہ تو ویسے تو دیتا ہے 10 دن کے بعد بھی دیتے 4 دن کے بعد 5 دن کے بعد 1 مہینے کے بعد بھی دیتا ہے.
In this clip, Bashir Ahmed tells us, you can pay now or you can pay later. It's sort of up to you. While I'm somewhat familiar with the pay later benevolence of roadside grocers who I've known for years in Delhi, here it's next level. And in other places, it would be even more shocking. For one, the system of fluid payment here is open to newcomers like me. Also, there seems to be other forms of exchange going on. News for bread, help for chot, gossip for something ghee laden. I don't know the exact rules of the trade, but there is a different economy at work here, and it is one I find myself in search of. Hi listeners, I want to tell you about Heirloom Cities, an amazing book and cultural project founded by Sri Bodhanapu. A city-based gastronomic exploration of Indian cities, these books present local food, recipes, traditions, and rituals as common heirlooms that are best enjoyed when they are shared with the world. The first of the series will travel to the artistic city of Kolkata and the bustling business metropolis by the sea, Mumbai. Look out for the very first book, the Mumbai edition, in the spring of 2025, and follow the account on Instagram at Heirloom Cities for more information.
मगर गया था कांदरू के पास वही दुआ था कि जो बनेगा वो बनेगा कांदरू को वही दुआ था नानवायु को इसको लाल जेत का बहुत दुआ था.
In Kashmir's rich folk tradition, which draws on both history and mythology, Kandurs are blessed by spiritual powers. A baker and his wife have invited me to their home for a cup of noon chai and freshly baked chot. As I chat with him and his vivacious wife in their carpeted living room right above their bakery, I can feel Kashmir's long history of mehman nawazi or hospitality.
Ab mujhe chupne ki zarurat hai, wo gayi thi usko bolte hai sabzi, Kashmir mein usko bolte hai sabzi wala, dandru. Kashmir mein bolte hai sabzi wala, Urdu mein bhi bolte hai sabzi wala.
They tell me a story of Kashmir's mystic princess and poetess Lal Ded, who lived in the 14th century. Legend has it that Lal Ded jumped into a kandur's tandoor to hide herself from a man. 15 days later, to the shock of all, she emerged from the tandoor, bejeweled with clothes and ornaments. From that day on, Kandurs regard her as a source of divine strength that will keep their tandoors burning. Kandurs also have another important spiritual connection in Kashmir. In Kandurwan, A Baking History, a documentary by Kashmiri filmmaker Mehvi Shraddar, we learned that Kandurs are also called Sofis because of their relationship to the Sufi saint, Akhund Sahib. According to the legend, Akhund Sahib used to wake up at the crack of dawn and knead dough to serve the people in his community. These stories are what gives the bakers who work in traditional Kandurs their reputation of saaf kaam, or clean work, in the service of greater good. However, as Zarif Sahib tells me, some of this purity has been diluted because of the influences of British colonialism and Punjabi culture.
Kandur to Kandar Kar. Ichu Bunyedi Ibtida Petan Kandur Kashirimas Osmut Yitzot Karanwol Shahrasander.
The Kandur used to be associated with religious purity, but they are no longer, quote, clean, as people now like to make makeshift Kandurs, many of which have been influenced by Punjabi culture or British colonialism. Zarif Sahib describes the mixed nature of bakeries. Srinagar is now home to many modern bakeries that draw on German or older European cultures of bread making. But even as some of this purity is compromised, bakers even today describe their work as honorable, or as they like to say, imandari ka kaam. In this little clip, we hear a baker greet his client that he sees every day and sometimes multiple times in a day. The greeting is always with the same freshness.
हाँ उनसे भी मिलते हैं यहाँ कांदर?
हाँ हर हर एक को मिलते हैं।
तो किस किस किस्म के खबर मिलते हैं आपको यहाँ जब आप यहाँ आते हैं? बातचीत होती है यहाँ?
बातचीत तो होते हैं हर एक की, हर दिन की, एक दिन को क्या होगा, कल क्या हुआ, परसों क्या हुआ। यहाँ तो सूफी के दुकान में हर एक आदमी आता है, अपना अपने सुनाता है कल क्या हुआ क्या।
हाँ पड़ोस जो है, पड़ोस में जो रहते हैं आपके,
हाँ
उनसे भी मिलते हैं यहाँ कांदर?
हाँ हर हर एक को मिलते हैं। बातचीत तो होते हैं हर एक की, हर दिन की, एक दिन को क्या होगा, कल क्या हुआ, परसों क्या हुआ। यहाँ तो सूफी के दुकान में हर एक आदमी आता है, अपना अपने सुनाता है कल क्या हुआ, क्या कैसे हुआ, क्या हुआ।
Bashir Ahmed, who simply suggests we refer to him as uncle, is one of the many who come to the Kandur every day, sunshine or rain. In this quick bite, he tells us how everything is discussed at the Kandur. The weather, politics, and neighborhood gossip, like whose wife ran off with who, he adds with a laugh. Later, off the record, I ask him how often women run off with someone other than their husbands. Hundreds of times, he says, with a charismatic chuckle. But most importantly, he points us to how the Kandur is a place for gathering information. News that people receive at the Kandur is reliable, trustworthy, and as fresh as the bread itself. This is where he and his neighbors learn about impending curfews and lockdown. Information that is not always available in newspapers or television, which is state-controlled or censored. Customers who have extra information might warn their neighbors with wisdom like, you better store enough bread for at least 3 months. An example of a coded message that signals an upcoming disruption. This is one of the many ways neighbors and Kandurs care for each other. Hearing this, I too begin to decode. Flour stands in for resilience, storage for patience, support for an impending time, largely unknown. Kandurs are the antithesis of fake news, I think. As I leave a Kandur after a morning of ritual shopping later that week, I think about how the bakery makes life worth living. These are places where human connections run deep. And each time people leave a bakery, they have gathered something about an ulcer, an adulterous affair, or an impending lockdown. And that is how I come to recognize the power of a phrase I've heard so many times in Kashmir. Bread is life here. Thank you for listening to this episode of Whetstone Audio Dispatch. Thank you to Whetstone founder Stephen Satterfield, executive producer Celine Glacier, sound editor Daniel Tarek, and music composer Catherine Yang. I'm grateful to Nidhi Verma, who worked with me on the script, and to Vidya Balachandar for all her amazing inputs. Thank you also to Ejaz Hussain, and finally to Sana Irshad Matu for being the best Srinagar guide, translator and photographer I could ask for. You can learn more about Whetstone Media at www.whetstonemagazine.com.